How many of you got somebody in Resurrection Ground? Most of us have. It'll be a day, won't it? Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Brian and family. I want you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 for our message this morning. We're going to read a few verses. I hope you'll follow along with me. We're going to start in verse 36, and we're going to read down through verse 50. I want to preach on the subject here. At the end of the things today, as the choir was singing after the last amen, after the invitation, we're going to burn the mortgage. And that's a big victory for us. And be a big victory to get out of debt. So the title of my message this morning is in my scripture here. I'm going to give it the title, See Who Got Out of Debt. Ask the question in this passage, who got out of debt? Picking it up here in verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him, talking about Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And Jesus, now there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more or most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee, are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Now, if you were to go back in the early part of the chapter, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus had been doing a lot of miracles. He'd been healing the sick and the blind and causing the lame to walk. And some of John's disciples had come to him, John the Baptist's disciples, and asking him, are you for sure you the Messiah? And he'd kind of itemized what he'd been doing. And this was all in the background. The Pharisees, however, was rejecting what John the Baptist had been doing and what Jesus was doing. Now, the Pharisees was a religious sect. They were very proud of themselves. They had their religious rule book to go by and all of that. But I pick it up in verse 30 that I did not read in chapter 7. It says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Hey, that's a powerful statement. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So this Pharisee that invites Jesus into his house is not necessarily his friend. As you read the scripture closely, you'll find out that he wanted to judge the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought in his heart, he said, well, if this fellow was a prophet, if he was really a man of God, he'd know this woman that's touching him. And that was a no-no in the religious book of the Pharisees. A rabbi was not to be touched by a sinner. And so that's what he was saying within himself. But he said it and spake to himself, but the Lord Jesus read his mind and his heart. And he told a story to make a point here to the Pharisee. And I'm saying to you here, the Pharisee may not have got the point, but I hope we can get the point here with us this morning. Jesus told of two debtors. Those debtors, he was actually representing the Pharisee and the woman that was a sinner. I don't know whether the Pharisee got it or not, but Jesus was making a point to him that was very important. You know, debt used to be a bad thing in the old days. Folks didn't like to owe, and a man's reputation depended on whether he paid his bills. We've moved to a day and time, however, and especially in America, to where debt is the way to go. You might not realize it, but they say over in Sweden and a lot of places that even the banks now no longer handle cash. It's all on a piece of paper. It's all on a card. It's all debt. And America's debt is really grown. What is it, 28, 30 trillion that it's moving up to? We can't even imagine that. I think it was back during President Reagan's time that he said if you took $100 bills and had enough of them, and you could stack one on top of the other, one on top of the other, that when you got to the moon, you still wouldn't have $1 trillion. That's a lot of money, folks. And yet we owe 28 or 30 trillion, whatever it is now, and growing all the time. All the babies in the nursery, well, they're in debt before they ever open their eyes in this world. Go over and tell them to hurry up and grow because they got a lot to pay off. Now, we joke about it a little bit, but that's what the world has moved to in this day and time. And we're moving to that cashless so-called society, that number that the book of Revelation tells us will come in with the Antichrist kingdom and all of that business. But I want us to get a point here that the Lord Jesus was making here to these two people, and especially to the Pharisee here. I look at it here and see that both of these people were in debt. Both of them were. Let me say to you today, whether you know it or not, you say, preacher, my bills are paid. There's one big debt you may not have considered, a big debt, bigger than anything you could put on a credit card, bigger than anything you could go to a bank and borrow. Do you understand that this Pharisee was in a great debt he did not recognize, and that was he had a sin debt? I want the ushers to deal with kids going in and out of the church. Stop them. Don't let them go back up there. Look at me right here. Devil don't want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. Now, here's the thing. Everybody has a sin debt. And the interest is growing on it all the time. I had a man say to me, he said, you know, when I go to bed at night, he said, I just lay there and think about how much my money is making for me when I'm not even working. Well, I can't say that. I've seen the time I lay down and went to bed thinking about how it was working against me, not for me. Amen. But there's a bigger debt than that, and there's a more dangerous debt than that, and that's the fact that all of us have a sin debt. This Pharisee had one, but he didn't recognize it. And the sad truth is today that there's a whole lot of people in this world that have a sin debt, and like the Pharisee, they don't recognize it, and it's growing. It's growing while they sleep. It's growing while they're driving down the road. It's growing while they're on the job. It's growing all the time because they keep sinning, and they can't pay it off. It keeps getting larger and larger. This used to be referred to a lot in the old time world, the old literature of England and Europe, different times. You can go over and see some of the cathedrals in Europe right now, and you'll see the cost of a soul being portrayed on a mural on the wall, a big picture of souls being cast into hell because the devil has got that soul and tricked it and deceived it, and it dies lost. Yeah, they believed in hell in those days. And it was a deterrent in some cases. Some of the great literature of the world, like Dante and some of the others, they even made silent movies in England and in America concerning the truths of the Bible that the devil was after men's souls, and he had a mortgage on their soul, and that they had a sin debt, and they couldn't get out of it, and they couldn't escape him. And go back in literature, you'll find out that was the truth. Nowadays, that's not politically correct. You shouldn't do that. Some of the literature, for instance, do you have anybody ever read the story of Daniel Webster arguing against the devil, trying to get the man's soul back? The man had made a deal with the devil to sell his soul. Do you ever remember that kind of literature? See, the old world faced that truth, but it's a truth now that's being ignored, and we're reaping the results of it. But Jesus was talking to two people here that were in debt. Both were in debt. The Pharisee would not have admitted that. He had his little religious rules to go by. He was doing everything. He was speaking within himself. He was proud of himself. But the woman was the opposite. She knew she was a sinner. She came in weeping. You know, we all should know we're sinners. Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've had a few folks in their ignorance, and that's what it was, say, I've never sinned. Well, what you just said will do until you get around to it, because you just lied. And that's a sin. Amen? No. Let me do some fifth grade arithmetic, maybe fourth grade arithmetic with you real quick. If you think I'm not so bad, I don't have a sin debt. Let me tell you, it may be bigger than you think that it is. Let's play a little game with me. If you're 60 years old out there, don't raise your hand, but just acknowledge if you're 60 years old. Now let's take 12 years away from that 60 years, because maybe God didn't count your sins till you got up maybe around 12. It could have been 10, it could have been 6, it could have been 15. I don't know, but let's just say that he's holding you accountable for 48 years, 12 from 60. 48 years, your sin debt's been growing. Say, well, preacher, I hadn't sinned much. Would you admit you've sinned once a day? Let's face it, many more times. But we'll just count one. Maybe just covetousness, which goes on quite often with all of us. Sins of omission as well as commission. But let's just count one sin a day for 48 years. 365 days a year. Now, don't get your calculator out, but if you'll figure that up, that's 17,560 sins. What are you going to do with them? You got a sin debt. You have got a sin debt. The truth of the matter is, a lot of folks kidding themselves when they say, what is sin? Well, it's transgression of God's law, and a perfect God can't let you into a perfect heaven with one sin. It's got to be paid for. It's got to be paid for. Now, this woman knew she was a sinner. I hope we all know that we are today. But why did she come? Now, perhaps she'd been in the crowd where he healed the lepers, made the blind to see, the lame to walk. She'd been hearing. She'd been hearing what he said. She'd been seeing what he'd done. There was a good crowd that gathered around as he argued with the Pharisees. And finally, even when one Pharisee invited him into the house, the crowd was still watching things. How was this going to work out? How was this confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees? And here's a Pharisee inviting him to come in and set out the table. And I'm sure in especially open type houses they had, the crowd was around the house. Some of them was at the table. And the woman comes in. She comes in also. Why'd she come? Maybe what she'd seen and what she heard gave her a little bit of hope. She was in hopeless shape. The crowd knew who she was. They knew she was a sinner. She was probably embarrassed to come, but she came. You know, a lot of folks come to church and know they need to get saved, know they got a sin debt, know they can't help themselves, but they're embarrassed to come out of the crowd. To step out. They see others do it, but they don't do it. This woman didn't care about the crowd. She left the crowd. She walked in with her tears. Now, she was somewhat prepared because she brought the ointment. I don't know if it cost her all she had or how she got it, but she came to worship the Lord, and she made a little preparation to do that, to come in and show how she loved the Lord Jesus. And so in spite of her embarrassment, she came on in. Maybe she knew who he was. And she'd figured out this has to be the Messiah. This has to be the promised one. This one has the power that nobody else had. I don't know all that she figured out, but she got over the stigma of embarrassment and over the stigma of admitting she was a sinner, and she came right on in to the Lord Jesus and began to weep and wash his feet and anoint his feet. She came in unashamedly. She had a sin debt and she knew it. And she knew the only one that could help her. And she came to him in spite of the crowd. I think heaven's going to reveal how many folks died and went to hell because they were afraid of the crowd. Afraid of the stigma. Afraid of the embarrassment. Afraid of what somebody's going to say. And face God in their sins. Never coming to him for forgiveness in this life. Never coming to him recognizing he's the one and the only one that could help them. That's a sad thing. And I'm talking to some folks in this room and probably in radio land right now, and that is exactly you. And it was exactly me before I got saved. Because the devil got on my shoulder and he said, you can't walk down that aisle. You can't go down there. You'll be too embarrassed. Those folks will laugh at you. But you know what I found out? He's a liar. And when I did come down the aisle, those folks didn't laugh at me. They rejoiced with me. And they remembered back when they had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this woman did. See, she recognized her sin debt. The Pharisee didn't. He was still proud. He thought he was somebody. He was fixing to prove Jesus wasn't a prophet because he let a sinner touch him. He was all full of self. And he never got what the woman got. He never got his debt forgiven. Oh, she did. She did. You look at it close. She did. Who got out of debt? The woman, not the Pharisee. The woman's the one got out of debt. You see, Jesus said to her, here, your sins be forgiven. Wow. You see, the only thing that can get rid of our sin debt to God is the price God's Son paid in taking our place, that we can go free, our debt can be paid. Yeah, he paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and he paid it for me. And so when we sang the song, all to Jesus I owe, yes, sir, he paid it all. Thank God he didn't just give me the down payment. He gave it all, brother. He paid it all. And the wonderful truth is that Jesus here with this woman forgave her. Now, the crowd was amazed. Who can forgive sin? I'll tell you who can forgive sin. God can. And this was God. Jesus was God, and Jesus paid the price, and he had the authority, and he had the right, and the woman came out of the crowd. I don't know how many others in the crowd could have come, but they didn't. Who got out of debt? The one that came. The one that came. The Lord Jesus could have forgiven them all. But one came. One was too proud to come. One wanted to defend his own ground, his own religious standing. But we have no record in the scripture he got saved. But the woman did. She's the one who got out of debt. You know, he gave the little story. Who's going to love the most? The one that was forgiven the most? Can you remember when you got saved? You understood Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for me? Do you remember what a wonderful truth that was? How it cut clear across everything you'd ever believed. You thought you had to earn it, deserve it, work for it. And all of a sudden you found out by the grace of God, he did all that work for me. He paid it all for me. I remember as a young man, my race car days and other things, I knew I was a sinner, and I knew there was a God. But I had a long-range plan that I could not seem to ever catch up with. And that long-range plan was one day I'm going to meet a nice girl, I'm going to get married, I'm going to settle down, we're going to start going to church, and I'm going to start building up my good side. I'm going to build up my good works. I had a nagging thought, what am I going to do with all this other stack over here? You know, if you could and you can't, but if you could start tomorrow and never sin again, you still got a problem. You got a sin debt. What are you going to do with the past? What are you going to do with the past? That nagged at me. I didn't understand, but then one day I went into church and heard the gospel that Jesus, by grace, would save me because he paid it all for me and I could get out of debt. Somebody said, how do you feel about paying off the mortgage? Well, we announced Wednesday night the gauge was up there, and it felt like something lifted up. I got lighter. Now, the scales wouldn't say I did, but I did. I felt it. Now, I want to tell you something. When I got saved, I felt it. I felt the burden lift, brother. All of a sudden, it wasn't like, do I have any hope? Now I got real assurance because he paid it all, and all to him I owe, and I'm going to heaven by grace, and salvation's a gift. Wow. That made me feel lighter. It still does. Getting out more of that heavy load, that sin debt. No heavier load, no greater bondage than that. That's the biggest. And he paid it. Say, how? Coming to him and accepting it. Listen, you can hear about it. You can know about it. But like this woman, have you come out of the crowd and made it yours? Have you come to him personally? Have you accepted him and let him do it for you? A lot of you out there, you've gone to church enough, you've heard the story, you could tell it yourself. But have you ever applied it personally to yourself? That's the key, folks. That's the key. Do you really believe, like this woman did, that if you'd come to Jesus, he could pay you out of debt? He could pay your sin debt? He could write your name in heaven? You could be saved and know it? That's what the story points out. There's some folks here, maybe you're religious like the Pharisee, that won't get it. But have you ever seen yourself a sinner and come to Jesus and let him save you? I read this story a long time ago. I think it was a true story. Some European village, I forget where, might have been Switzerland, best I remember. It was a village. In that village through the years, there was a Christian couple. They had what we'll call a store, a business. Through those years, they were honest. They lived a good Christian life. They told others about Jesus. But it come time for them to retire and quit the business, sell the business. So wanting to be a good Christian testimony, people knew they'd done well in the business. They knew they probably had a big nest egg. They probably all little community of a village all knew that. But the people put up an unusual sign in the window of their business. Saturday morning will be our last day open for business. Saturday morning. And anybody that comes on Saturday morning from 8 o'clock to 12 and will bring a record of all their debts to us and come in, we will pay off your debts. Come in from 8 o'clock to noon on Saturday morning. Well, the village, that was the talk of the village for days. And Saturday morning came. And a crowd gathered outside the business, the sign on the window. And they talked about it, and they said, you reckon it would really happen? Reckon they'd really do it? And somebody said, well, they're good people. I've known them all my life. And somebody else said, well, I know they got a lot of money, and they've saved it up through the years. And they talked, and they talked, and they talked, and talked about it. And the clock kept ticking, and the clock kept ticking. Finally, somewhere about 11 o'clock, a couple, middle-aged couple, came through the crowd, kind of pushed through the crowd and knocked on the door, and the folks opened the door and let them in. And the crowd stayed outside and watched. And right about 1 minute after 12, the door opened again. And this couple came out, and the crowd said, did they do it? Did they pay your debts? And they said, yes, they paid every one of them. They all rushed into the door and said, well, me too. Too late. The door was shut. The time of opportunity was gone. They stayed in the crowd and they talked in the crowd and they speculated, could it really be true? I'm talking to some folks this morning. You've been in the crowd. You've talked. Could it be true? You've known about it. You've heard the promises that if you'd come to Jesus, he'd pay it off. Have you ever come to him? Don't wait until the door is shut. Don't wait until death knocks you out of that opportunity. Don't wait until Jesus comes back and you're left behind. Come to him now. Who got out of debt? Question this morning. You're going to see the church burn the mortgage, but are you leaving here in deep debt, sin debt, never coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask the question, who got out of debt? Have you gotten out of debt by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and letting him save you? I pray you have. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's stand quietly to our feet. I'm going to pray. Just before I pray, I want to ask you this, and I want to give you this opportunity. I want to tell you that the door is still open. I want to tell you your debts can be paid off this morning. Every one of them, every sin, every dirty thought you ever had, every act you committed, every lie you ever told can be paid off. Jesus will get you out of debt if you come to him. Well, our heads bowed just before I pray. Are you here today and you'd say, preacher, I need to get out of debt. Pray for me. I'll not come to you. I'll not call your name. But do you recognize yourself? The Pharisee couldn't recognize himself, though Jesus was talking about him. The woman recognized herself. Can you recognize yourself this morning? Do you know that your sin debt has been paid? Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need my sin debt paid. Would you slip that hand up? Yes, thank you. And you, would you just slip that hand up? I'm going to come to God in prayer. I'm going to have you in mind as I pray. Would you slip that hand up right now? Would you do it? Yes, amen. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, there's a few hands that was lifted. Lord, they're standing outside the door. Jesus is the door. If they would step through the door, he'd pay their sin debt. He'd write their name in heaven. Lord, he knows all their sins. And yet he'll pay every one of them. He'll forgive every one of them, just like he did this woman. God, I pray for these that have lifted their hand, that when we sing a song and invite them to come forward, they'd come forward just like I did one day, and like a host of people standing around them did one day. And Father, I can testify that Jesus paid my sin debt off. He gave me peace in its place, that I could have eternal life with him one day. That sin would not stand between us because he paid it off in the Father's eyes. I pray you'd bless the invitation right now. I pray, Father, that not one would stand back in the crowd till the door shuts in their face, but they would come even this morning, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step right down here. Would you meet me right here? Would you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that
will you come, please? Will you come?
Was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I call.
Will you come? Will you come this morning?
Just as I am. And
are you out of debt? In debt. Have you let Jesus pay it off? Are you still working on it? You're going deeper in the hole. The interest is mounting up. How about it? Will you come? Come this morning, will you come?
With many a conflict, many a doubt, fight.
about you this morning? How about you? Let's bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. Christians around you are praying for you to come. You can get that sin debt canceled, paid in full, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do it? The old couple, on a human level, paid the debts of just a couple that came to them. The rest of them stood and talked about it, and they looked on and they discussed it, but they didn't move till it was too late. Then they all wanted to move, but it was too late. Too late. Please don't wait that long. Some of you have been waiting a long, long time. It's going to be the midnight hour before you turn around. It's going to be too late. The world takes debt lightly, but the sin debt is not a light load. It's a load that'll take a soul to hell. God didn't give his only begotten son but for a light thing, but for an awful thing. I've often said the worst picture a man could paint of hell is Jesus Christ on the cross dying for our sins, paying such a price because hell is such an awful place. He wanted to keep us out of it. Brother Bert, I'm going to ask you to lead one more verse of song and see if someone else will come.
Just as I am.
Will you do it? The door's still open. The offer's still good. Let you be seated in the audience. We'll share with you here. We've had a number come forward this morning. I'm going to ask them to stand up here with me so I can share the names. All right. Let's see if I can get some names right. Mr. Shelby Acevedo, stand up here with me, please. He's accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. Brother Mezzel Smith, come with him. And I need another name here. Need to move on quickly.
And this is Dylan.
All right, Brother Case, stand up here with us. You got saved this morning, too. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, we got these two men. Then we have Tiffany Rousey. Is that the way you say it? Tiffany, come on up here. She came to rededicate her life this morning to the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. Okay. Then we have Louis Menzies. Jimenez. All right, I should have had that. Come on up, Lewis, and stand with us. Now, he comes accepting Christ as his Savior. Amen. Then we have Linda Dutton. Linda? All right, Linda comes accepting Christ as her Savior. Okay. You get one more here? Okay, we have, is this Timothy?
Yes.
Timothy Scott Holt, is that right?
Yeah.
Timothy, you accepted Christ, praise the Lord. Well, stand up here with us. Okay, have we, any of you personal workers dealt with baptism with them or not? None. A little bit too fast, so we'll do that. We'll have the folks talk to them about baptism and get them presented back to the church for baptism. All those in favor of receiving them, as I've stated, show of hands and so carried. And so we rejoice. We rejoice with all of these being saved and with Linda Posey? Tiffany Posey. I got it wrong. Rousey. I get it right. She comes rededicating her life. So we rejoice with that also. Okay. All right. Okay, today's attendance didn't do so good, 2,103, but we praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's good. I mean, it's just not good compared to other anniversary Sundays, but we praise the Lord for that. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask these folks, we'll make room for them to sit down here around the front, and then somebody help me to remember to call them back up and give you a chance to shake hands with them, all right? Okay, folks, y'all just pick your seat right here on this front pew and right there. You can go back where you were sitting over there, be fine. And because I want the folks to be able to shake hands with you and rejoice with you. All right, I'm not so sure we need to move that thing very far. Just move it about 3 foot. We're going to try to get to just room here to do the mortgage burning ceremony, okay? You guys, I sure hate for you measuring my house. That look like 3 foot? All right. We done that because we wanted this section of the building over here to be able to see. I'm gonna get some help up here in just a moment. What are you guys doing up here? Nobody called you. What are you doing up here? You ain't going to light that fire. I'm going to light that fire. I'll tell you what. I didn't spend 47 years here to let somebody else light the fire. I'll tell you that. They couldn't do this, no way. It's your turn.
The 28th day of January in the year of our Lord 2018, we are celebrating Pastor Mickey Carter's 47th anniversary as the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church and joyfully with praise to the Lord burning the church mortgage. Whereas Landmark Baptist Church stands for the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas its foundation has always been the verbally inspired Word of God, perfect and preserved in the Holy Bible, 1611 King James Version. Whereas its mission has always been to see souls saved and lives changed for the glory of God. Whereas countless men, women, and children have heard, understood, and accepted God's simple plan of salvation through the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Whereas our people faithfully give to God's work, we hereby declare the church mortgage paid in full and look ahead with rejoicing as we occupy till He comes.
This is just about it. I tell you what we're going to do, though. Not right now. But we're going to scrape up these ashes, and we're going to put them in a jar. See, we cremated the mortgage. And we're going to put the ashes of the jar and label it and date it and set it around here somewhere. Don't you think that'd be a good idea? Okay, we had a little fun with it, but truthfully, folks, this is a big deal. 47 years, when I came here, the little building had a mortgage on it. We've had a mortgage 47 years, up or down. When we took this project on over here, it increased some. When we widened out the building, done all we've done, it increased some. But by the grace of God, that's the church mortgage going up. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. That does not mean that we don't need any money. We got to keep up maintenance and missionaries and all those things. So if some of you are thinking wrong, get it right. This does not mean you don't need to give anymore. But it is a great milestone. It is a great victory. And we certainly do praise the Lord for it. Amen. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Now, over on the ball field, we're getting ready for the Sunday school party. Some of you might have got some pictures of this. We'll be having a video of it tonight. And folks that were not able, they're over there working, could not be in here. Go over there and help us out if you can and enjoy celebration. We're so glad you come if you're a visitor. I'm going to ask these that got saved, Brother Parsons, would you help me get them to turn around and face the audience? And I want you, when I dismiss in prayer, I want you to come by and shake hands with them. Welcome them into the family of God, and we hope they'll grow and obey and serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for what we're witnessing right now. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful people that have given sacrificially that we could have this great celebration right now, this moment. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Father, that as we've grown and built and had to borrow, but we've done it all to reach souls. That's been our purpose. Sending our missionaries, getting the job done around our own neighborhood, running the bus ministry and all the things that you've allowed us to do. We thank you for it. Now we praise you today for this great victory. We ask your blessing and protection now on the ball field and the party. Pray you'd still hold the rain off until we get through. Thank you again for your goodness, and most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want all the honor and glory to go to him. For we ask it in his name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Come down. Shake hands with these.